From Austin Film Festival, this is On Story, a look inside the creative process from today's leading writers and filmmakers. I'm your host, Barbara Morgan. On this special presentation of On Story, we're taking a closer look at some of the incredible films chosen to screen at the 26th Annual Austin Film Festival and the filmmakers behind those films. We spoke with filmmakers whose work represents some of the most original voices in filmmaking from around the world and the challenges they faced in their creative process, as well as the breakthroughs that led them to the Austin Film Festival.
Hey, did you mean it about El Paso?
Leave tomorrow if I could.
Well, what's stopping you?
I don't know. I guess I just started thinking about it more and more.
Well, you let me know when you get going, okay? You promise.
Listen to me! No. He was my brother, all right? And I'm not my dad, you got me? You hear me? You loser, you're the loser!
You know, in the perfect world, we'd all be dancing all the time. Wouldn't that be something?
My name is Van Dervang. I'm a writer, director, and producer of Sleeping Plastic, which I'm excited to be a part of this year's festival. My career actually started as a photographer. I was an editorial photographer, and my assignments really were about human interest stories, and I would get all these great stories from one of magazines like American Way, Texas Monthly, and they would send me all around the great state of Texas, and I would get these unique stories of people from, like, let's say we would have like an exoneree, the story of people put in prisons and then they were incarcerated for the wrong reasons, or sex trafficking and immigration. So I would have these like wonderful, like hard-hitting stories, but I also had like other unique and fun things. So I was always on the road, and while I was on the road, I would daydream a lot, actually. And you would meet all these folks, and you just kind of hear the stories and their faces. I love faces, and I sort of would just kind of mix them all together. And I love to write about themes, and I'm usually drawn to the themes of love, lost, and lust, and how those definitions can oftentimes blend together. And so that was sort of like genesis of how I started to write Sleeping in Plastic. It was sort of my time on the road in Texas, and I didn't grow up in Texas, but I lived there for like 8 years. My wife is from Texas, so it's kind of interesting growing up from the East Coast and living there, and I've probably seen more of Texas than a lot of Texans. Just at one point I covered like 5,000 miles in 21 days in like 21 cities, going to different shoots. And and so whether it's Uvalde to Brownsville to El Paso, so that gave me the landscape gave me this kind of I had this feeling of Texas, that this mythical feeling. So Texas to me was always magical. And I was a high school wrestler, and I don't even know why I was wrestling, but I finished wrestling, so I knew I had these elements, these stories of people who are doing things that oftentimes they don't know why they're doing it. And those are some of the questions I ask myself constantly. So Sleeping Plastic, basically, it's about a high school wrestler who gets involved with this drifter and her lover, and things sort of spiral out of control once he becomes her escort driver. And mainly it's about love and pain. So it's a love story about two people trying to escape their situation, their dire circumstances. But in the end, there's a little bit of hope. And that's what drives us a lot of times. So those are things I wanted to explore. So from photography through being on the road, and then one day, I didn't go to film school or anything, but I love stories. And when I was younger, I always wanted to be like Emily Dickinson and be a poet, but I just thought that wasn't doable. Then about 10 years ago, I just woke up and told my wife that I think I want to make movies. And she's like, great, that sounds great. Open a restaurant while you're at it too. So didn't come out of the blue, but it was just another extension of my storytelling versus one frame So I just started writing scripts, and Sleeping Plastic was one of them.
Was it the first feature script that you actually wrote?
It was my second feature. I wrote my first feature produced, yes.
A couple of things about the film. It's one, I know you shot it in Oklahoma, but it feels very Texas. But it is also very noirish, which I found really interesting, and particularly in the way you shot it, because it's got this kind of darkness to it, and it was riveting. So can you talk about that concept of how you were going to present this story?
Well, I'm inherently drawn visually, or I'm always drawn to like the shadows. I think there's so many great things that pop out of the shadows, and in that aspect, I think maybe I'm inherently drawn to the north side of things. And it was an intention of, I wanted to create something in a dreamlike state, and where we're just like on the edge of a nightmare, and it has this sort of atmospheric feel. But just visually, I think I'm always lean towards the shadows of things, and I think that's, it comes across in that way. There's a beauty to it. There's an inherent mystery that it kind of creates. I think one of the influences of that are when I listened to John Lennon's song Mother. Even though I was talking about love and pain as one of the themes, another theme that I was trying to explore is the theme of family. And his lyrics were just so riveting, and it just tied into the whole primal and animalistic feel of what I was going for. Because especially when you're like wrestling and you're dieting, you're starving and you're cutting weight, you become primal. Whether you're starving for food, starving for love, starving for attention, there's a clarity into that, and then there's an edge to it. And I think every time when I would listen to Mother, the lyrics are just incredible. I think it was like, Mother, you had me, but I never had you. You know, Father, you left me, and I never left you. And it was like this kind of ache that I was drawn to, and found out like he was doing this while he was going through primal scream therapy. So I had this kind of, you know, at the end of the song, there's this just grit and scream to it. And I think visually I was drawn to that, and just the shadows and the darkness of that. And when you're peppered with color, I think that it kind of heightens the sensation. I do write visually, and I think because those are things that interest me, just like these little nuances that would drive the setting up the atmosphere or the tone before I hit the dialogue and things like that. But, you know, screenwriting, it was like writing a 100-page poem, so each word really kind of mattered to me and what it described. And there's certain feelings that I would, you know, visually see, like, let's say a frame, and then whether it's just like the cracks in the wall or the description of things, I like to kind of like set it up visually. I think that my start as a photographer had enhanced that or helped that greatly, because I think I just kind of see that, those frames, those images in my head. Funny enough, I did send an early draft to AFF coverage like 5-6 years ago. So this is like an amazing thing. This is all full circle for me, and very grateful for it, to see how, you know, the notes and where it was missing to where it is today.
I want to talk a little bit about your cast. What was that process for you to start envisioning those people as a producer who were going to cast these parts that you indeed had written?
All this was very like gravy to me. It was all new. This is my first feature. Everything was neat. Definitely some challenges. We had a great casting director, Lindsey Graham. Very fortunate she came on board. And then she, through Red Sanders, she had read the script and really liked it and agreed to come on in our small film. And she was doing all these big films. So at the time, to find our lead, Brandon, it was Alex McNichol, who we ended up casting. I just got lucky with him because he just came in. He immediately was this big and warm person. And I love contrast. I love the duality of things, the unexpected, and someone who is big in stature but soft in heart. So I knew that. And then the other cast members, it just fell into place. We literally were like on the ground, and we had other people attach, and then they dropped and back, and then ended up thankfully, you know, with Dash Myhawk and who plays Oz Baco and Addison is just terrific. So it's really weird. I think at the end, it was just the people that ended up playing was, we just got lucky. And, you know, there wasn't any rehearsals. The only thing I knew when I was singing is like, I knew I was dealing with professionals. I knew I was dealing with people who were just more extremely experienced than I am, and I was relying on that. And the only commodity I think I had was a first-time feature director is that I knew the story and had a vision for that. I might have been inexperienced in anything else, but I was very, very confident in the story, and I think that projected. And I knew if I could get the actors there, I just had to let them do their thing within the framework and just actually sit back and get out of their way.
So how was that journey ultimately for you? I mean, I'm sure you said you have a look mood book from like 5 years ago. So this has been a long journey, but I mean, how was it as far as your expectations for your first time feature?
The journey has been great, just filled of the challenges. You know, these are things sort of like you read about, you hear other folks going through it. So I'm grateful for it. And I'm grateful for all the, even the down parts of it. It's gravy to me. And to finally kind of like see Get Out, and especially at AFF, I feel like I'm in a dream state. So it's like this weird world. I think at each stage you learn and you kind of get like a great feeling like, oh, okay. You know, things in terms of craft too, I think that's what's the most amazing thing. You learn anything through the editing stage, post stage, distribution stage, the business side, the art side. It's all really cool, I think, to me, for it to have substance, for it to be alive, for it to be that monster that comes alive. I think it's just kind of really exciting. 5 year journey from that first mood reel. I think my first page that I wrote might have been like 8 to 9 years ago for this one. So it went through that, and then just finding its way and, you know, and pushing and going through. I think there is a bit of delusion to it all. And somehow, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm here talking with you about this little thing. So, you know, I had this, someone was asking me the other day, it feels like I'm standing there in the beach and I'm looking at the ocean, and then I see something, I'm going into the water and I swim out, and then I'm swimming, but I know I'm personally a terrible swimmer, but I turned back around and I just went a little bit way too far. And I know if I go back, I'm going to drown anyway. So I might as well just keep swimming forward and hope for the best. So that's sort of how I think what happened to me with the creative field. 'Cause I went to business school, and, you know, I didn't even go to photography school. I did for 1 year. I went to business school. I was 22 years old. I graduated. My first job was writing about banking news at the American Bankers Association. And then I was 4 or 5 years of that. Then I was like, I'm going to New York to play music. So that started the journey of like, I get to New York and I didn't play music again because I found a camera. I got obsessed with a camera and was like, why doesn't this look like the magazine? So, and then later, this is when DSLR videos start to come, and that's when I started doing the short films. And the short films were actually parts because I was getting stuck writing Sleeping in Plastic.
On Story is brought to you in part by the Alice Kleberg Reynolds Foundation, a Texas family providing innovative funding since 1979. This project is supported in part by the Cultural Arts Division of the City of Austin Economic Development Department, the Texas Commission on the Arts, the U.S. Institute of Museum and Library Services, and the Texas Library and Archives Commission. This program is also made possible in part by a grant from Humanities Texas, the state affiliate for the National Endowment for the Humanities. On Story is supported in part by Too Far Media, immersive story experiences by Rich Chaparro. The show is produced by myself, Barbara Morgan. Our associate producers are Colin Heyer, Sonia McCarter, and Maya Perez. Our editors are Jamal Knox and Travis Neely. Audio capture by Travis Kennedy. Music by Brian Ramos. Production assistance comes from The Sound Lab, Inc., Travis Kennedy, and KUT 90.5 in Austin. Go to austinfilmfestival.com to find out more about Austin Film Festival and conference each October. Until next time, I'm Barbara Morgan, and this has been Austin Film Festival's On Story.